translation. O King Parikshit, the coward men dressed very opulently with valuable ornaments and garments such as coats and turbans. Decorated in this way and carrying various presentations in their hands, they approach the house of Nanda Maharaj. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When we consider the past condition of the agriculturists in the village, we can see how opulent he was, simply because of agricultural produce and protection of cows. At the present, however, agriculture having been neglected and cow protection given up, the agriculturist is suffering pitiably and is dressed in niggardly torn cloth. This is the distinction between the India of history and the India of the present day. By the atrocious activities of Ugrakarma, how we are killing the opportunity of human civilization. Om Giganti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vinishvari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the Ishupanishads, in the introduction, not the introduction, it says that Om Purnam Adam Purnaminam Purnat Purnam Udachite Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. So it says even the personality of God is perfect and complete, and that everything that emanates from it is also perfect and complete. And even though so many complete units will emanate from the Supreme Lord, it doesn't diminish his potency. It still remains a complete balance. So this brings in mind, when we remember Krishna, nothing can be incomplete. And when we forget Krishna, everything's incomplete. So this is what's happening in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that there's no wantage in this world. You know, when it rains, it rains so much, especially in this part of the world, and especially if you go further north to Manchester, and if you go even further to the west coast of Scotland, you know, it's like four seasons in one day. Rain, 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 rain. So, how did you get onto that? We were talking about rain. Perfect and complete. And even though so many complete units emanate, he still remains as complete balance. Yes, so the point is that there's plenty of everything. There's plenty of rain. There's plenty of jewels. There's plenty of gold. You know, these things which are in scarcity now, there's plenty of them. It's just that when we are sinful, the earth retracts. And so everything we do for personal sense gratification will mean at some point we'll go without. Is that right? It seems as if it appears that we're gaining when we try to enjoy the senses. And, you know, people are really into it nowadays. Especially the leaders of society. They're never satisfied. And so they're gaining so much fame and adoration, but then in a moment, they've gone. Just like I was thinking when David Cameron, he was like the big news. I said, yeah, I'll come to that program. I didn't know what the program was, but yeah, I'll come. He looked around and says, the Prime Minister's coming. I says, oh, Prime Minister. He says, shh, shh, shh. So, you know, it was like, keep it quiet because there'll be so many people inundating the manor. And then at the last minute, it was let out that David Cameron's coming in. So, you know, everybody is really paying attention to making sure he's served very nicely and relationships are very conducive for getting his blessings, the blessings of David Cameron. So, but now, you know, he's gone. It happened in, you know, what a shock. What a shock. Everybody was completely, what? We're out. And I'm sure he was shocked as well. So things are changing at any moment. If we don't put Krishna in the center, then whatever we've got, it amounts to nothing. Because everything is supplied in full abundance. And if we can see that, we can use everything in a Vedishu Yagishu Tapasu Teva Danishu Yat Punya Palam Paristam Acheti Tat Savam Idam Viditva Yogi Param Stanam Apaita Chadyam. It says that if we follow the path of using everything in Krishna's service, this is called devotional service, then we won't go without anything. If anybody's still got any material desires, they'll be fulfilled. If anybody's got any desire for anything in this world, it'll be fulfilled, and at the end we'll get Krishna. So this is complete. But yet somehow or other we think that leaving Krishna out of the equation, we'll get what we need, and we'll avoid what we don't need. It's just like in this material world, people are like lost souls, like orphans. There's one story about one particular person. He was outcast. Many people are now jobless and homeless. Is that right? I don't know how they get into that situation because we have a welfare state, but somehow or other they slip through the net. And it's called ignorance, actually. It's called ignorance. See, everything is there for them, but they don't take to it. This is the mode of ignorance. Everything that one does is completely useless. And so we've come into this particular situation, and predominantly the material world is, we call it passion and ignorance, but mainly ignorance. There's some passion there. And this person, he'd fell into that situation where he'd got nowhere to go, and he met one person who started to preach to him. He said, you know, you have one really opulent father. He's unlimited wealth. He said, oh, really? He says, how can I understand that? How can I realize that person? And he says, well, listen carefully. He said, he called it a treasure, actually. A treasure, a buried treasure. We've all got a buried treasure. And he says, where do I dig for it? He says, well, you've got to be careful. If you dig on the southern side, you know, this is not very conducive. If you dig on the southern side, you'll hit a nest of, what is it? Wasps, you know, and it'll be too painful. So this is the majority of people in the material world. We're digging on the wrong side of the treasure, and therefore we're getting reactions from the material energy, which is very, very painful. So this is called karma kanda, trying to enjoy things directly, but, you know, keeping our connection with Shastra. Here it's talking about ugra karma. Ugra karma means there's no benefit at all. And then he said, if you're not careful, you can dig on which side is it? The western side. If you dig on the western side, then you'll become haunted by ghosts. What does that mean, haunted by ghosts? What's the biggest ghost we have? It's our mind, yeah. Woo! You know, so many things come into the mind. You know, a person's face changes according to the condition of the mind. Have you noticed? The mind's so powerful. It's changing people's features at every moment. Whatever, you know, you say something which is not conducive for one person, and the face changes because of the mind. And, you know, our destiny changes because of the mind. So we're haunted by this mind. And this is gyan. We're trying to understand things by the mind. So this is not very... So we suffer. I say mental suffering is greater than physical suffering. Is that right? You know, we can suffer physically, you know, and then we can get over it, you know. We can... But mental suffering, it's like just too much. And then the next one is the... if we go to the northern side, what's on the northern side? A big black python. A big black snake. And what's a python? Oop. Finished. This is yoga. We get into yoga and we start to realize the super soul. And we think, wow, I'm really making progress now. Then we think we are the super soul. It's all one. We're swallowed by impersonal. Even yoga, we can be swallowed by impersonal philosophy. So these are not... They're recommended in the Shastra that we can make progress in that way, but, you know, it's very difficult. And so it's recommended by this person. He said you should dig on the eastern side. It's on the eastern side. This is called Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. And so in all situations, if we're, you know, Shastra, the end conclusion of Shastra is that we always remember Krishna. We always engage in devotional service. And this is the actual answer. If we're always remembering Krishna in every activity, then we can understand that Krishna is Bhaktaram Yogitapasam Sarvalokameshwaram Surinam Sarvabhutam Yatvamam Shantim Richati, that he's the well-wisher of all living entities. He's the owner of all planets and he's the benefactor of everyone. Or he's a beneficiary of all our activities. So when we realize that Krishna is Suridam Sarvabhutanam, he's a well-wishing friend in the heart, and he's following us in every situation, then we can get some peace. Then we can understand in every situation, whatever how difficult it may be, is that somewhere Krishna is behind this particular activity. It may not appear like that. But if we learn to see that particular situation as a chance to grow in our devotional service, then we become peaceful. And so, you know, an advanced devotee is not looking for a peaceful life. We're looking for a peaceful life most of the time. But that's not necessarily the best life. The best life is when it's the activities that we're performing and the situations that we're put into are forcing us to go inside and try and understand what is happening in this situation. And then actually devotional service becomes very, very enjoyable. Because every moment we're seeing that Krishna is speaking to us through the different situations that we put into. So, complete arrangement of devotional service. What's that complete arrangement? I put three things down here. Devotional service, whatever situation, and it purifies. It purifies the contamination from the heart. Secondly, is it engages the mind and senses, keeps us out of trouble. And lastly, it fulfills all desires. Everybody understand that? Devotional service fulfills all desires. And we just said, Vedishu Yogishu Tapashu Cheva. We'll find that it fulfills desires even in the material world. Has anybody had that realization? Yeah. We don't go out without anything. Not a bad deal. It may come a little bit later. It may come a little bit later when we've got over being attached to it. Sometimes that happens. Krishna will say, now he's ready to accept this. And he'll give you something you've maybe been pining over in the past. I don't really want this. I'm not attached to it anymore. So that's Krishna's mercy also. Anyway, the main point about this particular verse is that, you know, because Krishna's not in the center, then, you know, look at the state of society. Prabhupada said we're eating off plastic. We have, you know, the houses are like boxes. Previously, when people were God conscious, you would just look in the local towns only a couple of hundred years ago, and there's magnificent buildings, magnificent church in the center, very ornamentally decorated. People had time to glorify the Supreme Lord. Now we're leaving Krishna out of the equation. We haven't even time to do things nicely for ourselves. People walking up and down the street with a cob in their hand and chewing away. They haven't even time to stop and eat. They're just so much into enjoying. They don't realize this eating process is actually an enjoying process if it's done properly. So everything's becoming topsy-turvy. This is the mode of ignorance. Everything we see it the wrong way around. What we see as happiness is actually misery. And what we see as miserable is actually happiness. So learning how to use things in the proper way is the key to Krishna consciousness, the key to keeping ourselves engaged. And we see so many people walking about with their, what do you call these things? These square things with, you can do everything with it. Phone, mobile phone. They're not mobile phones anymore, are they? They call them iPads and Androids. You know, you can do anything with them, can't you? You know, so much opulence we have. This is what it says in this verse. It says that, let's have a look at the verse again. It says in the beginning, Mahara. Mahara means extremely valuable. So these things are extremely valuable. You can even insure them, can't you? They're extremely valuable. But what does it mean to be extremely valuable? What's the bottom line in defining extremely valuable? Eh? It's worth money. But what do we see as extremely valuable? That's right, yeah. And so this is the... whatever we're doing, if it's bringing us closer to Krishna, then this is extremely valuable. And if it's taking us away from Krishna, then it's extremely invaluable. So in the Gita it says, Trividam Narakashyedam Dwaramam Nasnam Atmanaha Kama Krodha Sita Lobas Tasmat Etam Trayam Tyajet. So, you know, we're living in a pretty hellish condition of life compared to what we hear about from the time of Nanda Maharaj. So everybody had so many different opulences, jewel turbans, you know, silk robes. This is how the farmers used to live. When we think of a farmer, do we think of someone in a jewel turban and silk robes, you know, and slippers with a curling up at the front? Now we think of a pair of Wellingtons, you know, turned over at the bottom, a woolly hat, you know, a jumper and a pair of scruffy trousers, you know, smelling a manure. So this is the difference. Prabhupada says this is the difference between the farmers of bygone ages and the farmers of today. So they were dressed in extremely valuable things. But why had they got those valuable things? Because they were actually seeing Krishna as the center. So then when we see Krishna as the center, then Krishna reciprocates with that. Is that right? When we're doing books on Sangatan, we can be trying our best. You know, we're doing it. We meet with the best devotee, the best book distributor, and we learn his lines, and we, you know, we really analyze the way he does things and his, you know, his mannerisms, and then we go on books, and you know, we can't even stop anybody. But then, when we start to realize that it's something a little bit deeper than that, and we start developing the proper consciousness, then, you know, it doesn't matter what we do, everybody will stop. So, but can we apply that in life? You know, this is the whole point, is that devotional service is a progression of faith, isn't it? Ador Shraddha. There's a little bit of faith. We associate with devotees. We've got that much faith that maybe they've got something. And then we start to, by that association, and we gain a little more faith and we may decide to become serious. And this is an ongoing process that Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Suridra Nischoy Krishna Sarva Siddhi Hoy Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Suridra Nischoy. What's the rest of it? Krishna Kala Sarva Karma Karma Krita Hoy. That, you know, real faith is that we just realize that all I have to do is just serve Krishna. If I just serve Krishna, everything will come. You know, some of the... Prabhupada said that, you know, all I have to do is get one serious devotee and I can train him in Krishna consciousness and then everything will be accomplished. He says, but, you know, I've got so many big, big devotees, big, big men, and I have to engage them in big, big projects. But, you know, Prabhupada was one man. And because he was... All he did, he was sat under a tree. He started chanting the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. And then people came. And he started to train them. They were the Westerners who had all the intelligence how to utilize things. So devotional service is like that. That we don't have to be the... In the beginning, it was the rugged pioneer, wasn't it? The rugged pioneer, the... That was the pioneering stage. Everybody went out and started centres. And now we're realising that we need a little bit more to maintain. The mode of goodness is more prominent. It has to become more prominent. So this is called the... what they call this stage? Eh? Reflective stage. Very good. Now we're thinking, now, where did we go wrong? Oh, you know, we didn't do everything wrong. Obviously, you know, we've got everything's gradually growing, but we can learn from what we've done in the past, and we can see what to do now, how to go forward. So we're in the reflective stage. So how did we get into this mess? We were saying only 200 years ago, people were relatively pious. Prabhupada was once walking with one of his devotees. And one of his disciples, and his disciples said, Prabhupada, this Kali Yuga has been having a big effect on society, this demoniac society for a long time. And Prabhupada said, no, just for the last 200 years. And he said, when the Industrial Revolution started, that's when things started to decline. And so, just prior to the Industrial Revolution, things don't happen suddenly. Suddenly somebody invents the wheel, you know, we start, you know, getting so many... She should rather go cool and the key die. We start getting so many material acquisitions, modern gadgets. So, the first thing that... This was in a Back to Godhead magazine, 1994, I think it was, and it was Hare Krishna Dasi. She was writing about farming in Pennsylvania, especially. She was like the in charge for the agricultural side of ISKCON. And she was quoting Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev, you know, he gave loads of instructions, very, very great in wisdom. And one particular thing he said that there's three things that shouldn't be sold. Anybody heard this before? Anybody think of any things that we shouldn't sell? A plow. He's not far off, actually. He's got the right idea. Our vows. No, he's nearer. No, it's close. Eh? No, that's good. That's a good one. Yeah, because you go into a town and they all wanting to buy gold, aren't they? Because they know, you know, this paper money is not worth the paper it's printed on. No, it's poison. If somebody comes and wants to buy some poison, you know, I think Maybe there's some nefarious activity going on here. So that's obvious. The next one is hair. Right? Now, if you think about that one a little bit, hair is also wool. It comes on the sheep's body. And around 200 years ago, maybe a little longer, the landlords of the big, you know, they had many serfs on their land. But, you know, when you've got a simple agrarian society, you can't make much money, can you? You know, things are pretty static. You've got to get things moving. You know, you've got to get people. And so they were thinking that, you know, somebody came up with the idea that wool's expensive. So if I get plenty of sheep on the land and then, you know, sell the wool in that way, I'll make quite a lot of money. So they kicked all the serfs off the land at that time. The serfs went without, you know, food and clothing and shelter. So they suffered. All because one person could make a lot of money. This is how it all started. What's the last thing? It's very related to this verse. It's about cows. You shouldn't sell milk. Because when we sell milk, then it creates a market for milk. And then when there's a market, there's competition for getting the lowest price, isn't there? We've got to sell it at a reasonable price so that we can actually make some money. See, money comes into it again. And then you have to cut down your overheads, don't you? You can't have too many overheads, or otherwise it puts the price up. So, you know, a cow's okay while it's giving milk. Is that right? But then when it gets past giving milk, it becomes like a big overhead. It's not producing anything. So this is how they started slaughtering the cows and bulls. They became non-profitable. And so this is what happens when we start selling milk. It says that milk should be used for our own needs, and then if any left over, we can use it for yogurt, and then we can use it for ghee, and like that. And if we have any milk left over after we've got all those facilities, then we can sell it. But what's the difference is we're not relying on the profit. We just sell it to somebody who hasn't got any, you know, at a reasonable price. But we don't need it. Same with the the horse. Plough. You said plough, didn't you? They used to plough the land, didn't they, with a bull. You know, it's like pretty steady going, isn't it? You know, you're not going to make a lot of profit on the speed of a bull. And so one person was thinking, the horse, the shire horse, it's faster. So they started taking the bull out of the scene and putting the shire horse onto the plough. So therefore they got the crops done much quicker, cheaper. And and then when the industrial revolution started, they started changing the horse for the tractor. And so these animals were then sent to slaughter as well. So it all starts with these three things we were talking about. Trividam Narakashyedam. There are three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger and greed. Every man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So a devotee has to be very careful that we're very careful that we're satisfied in life. Satisfaction means that satisfaction of mind comes first. That when we see Krishna's in the equation, then we can be satisfied in any situation. And when we don't see Krishna in that equation, then mind becomes dissatisfied. Then all these inauspicious qualities start to invade the mind. Moha, illusion, krodha, anger. And then we have a situation which is completely opposite to what we have in this particular verse. So therefore, tasmara gyan sambhutam, ritstanam gyanisatmanha, chitvenam samsayam yogam, atishto atishto bharat. This is at the end of the fourth chapter, very important verse, very important section of the Bhagavad Gita. It's talking about transcendental knowledge. So if a person's educated in transcendental knowledge, then he doesn't become susceptible to these lower modes of nature which cause the particular situation we have in society now. If people are educated in spiritual life, then ignorance is taken out of the way, and one can learn how to do things in the proper way. So it says here that there's one nice verse which is encapsulating this verse. It says that we're saying that we have to dig on which direction was it? The eastern direction. This is the direction of devotional service. Nivritatar share upagi amanat bhavosajach chotra manobiramat ka utamashloka unana vardat puman viragyata vina pashognat. Does anybody recognize that? It's the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those who no longer take interest in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will I cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing the self? So it gives two examples of a butcher. Can anybody understand what it means? Which two examples would you say? One who's killing the self. One is obvious to us. One who, you know, engages in materialistic life and doesn't engage in spiritual life. And the other one is one who performs fire yajna and sacrifices animals. So I don't think anybody comes from that category here. So a butcher, one who's killing the self, one who is who's desirous of enjoying the material world. So it says, for successful transference of knowledge, both the speaker and the hearer should be free from hearing about material topics. This is Nivritatara share. So Krishna reveals in the heart during serious Krishna Katha. This is a quote from this particular purport. The spiritual master and disciple do not need to understand anything more than Krishna, because simply by understanding Krishna and talking about Krishna, one becomes a perfectly learned person. Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. Mukanda Mundaka Upanishad 1:3. The Lord sits within everyone's heart, and by the grace of the Lord, the devotee receives instructions directly from the Lord himself. So this is backed up in the Bhagavad Gita, that whether we're a scholar or not, if we make ourselves qualified for hearing, Krishna will send us qualified speaker. And Prabhupada even said himself that he used to listen to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and he was speaking such elevated philosophy that he couldn't really understand what he was saying. He said, but I liked to hear what he was saying. I was serious about hearing. And, you know, many of his godbrothers, they were so qualified. They were sannyasis. They were very erudite scholars. But at the end of the day, because Prabhupada had the right attitude and the right approach, then very quickly he was able to understand the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And understanding that mood, even though everybody else failed to prosecute his will, Prabhupada was the one who did it. So, you know, sincerity of purpose is the most important thing in devotional service. And then when we have that sincerity of purpose, then Krishna can work on that. And then we can become actually educated devotees. So we can, it's 25 past now. We can stop there for questions. Oh, just one more thing, actually. One more thing. These topics are the medicine to stop repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death by which one takes on different bodies again and again is called Bhava Rog. If anyone unwillingly or unwillingly hears Krishna Katha, his Bhava Rog, the disease of birth and death, will certainly stop. Krishna Katha is so potent, such a potent medicine, that if one is induced to hear the Krishna Kirtan, he will certainly be freed from this disease.